Hello and welcome to everyone to the Peace Alliance Hope Story Circle. It's lovely to see all your faces. We're delighted to have you here. It's a special day. And Peace On is our podcast series. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. And the Peace Alliance welcomes you here today. I'm Terry Mason. I'm on the board of the Peace Alliance, and I'm joined to co-facilitate by Liz Gannon Graydon, who is also on our board, and Yelena Popovich, who is our Teaching Peace in Schools Council Lead and Mindfulness Expert. Sally Lou Huffman. She's going to share a wonderful story. Welcome, Sally Lou. You can unmute yourself and say hello.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
You what an exciting here day. You are. So good to see you. I know you've had a background in television production with The Oprah Winfrey Show, but you also have launched your own business too. Want to tell us a little bit about your business?
Oh, sure. Well, yes, it's, I was the audience producer for The Oprah Winfrey Show, and I got to stand on that stage every day and welcome the audience and get them prepared for the show, among a lot of other things that I did, like ticketing for the show. But that part of me standing on that stage representing this beautiful brand of love named Oprah, I realized when the show was over that I could do that for other brands and other audiences. And so that's what Love Speaks, my business, is. I get hired to spread my message of love and peace and finding your purpose for other audiences, such as yours today, or live events when we used to be in front of people, corporate events, nonprofit events, women group events, where I use my message of my story to help others connect with their story and tie it into the brand that I'm representing. So that's what it is. I also do a lot of speaker workshops, because the number one fear prior to a pandemic is fear of speaking. So yeah. I help a lot of people speak from their heart and lose their fear.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's a great gift to give to the world.
It is.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here, Sally Lou. We're just going to start our session today, though, with a meditation. Yelena will lead us in a grounding meditation. And when she's finished, you can start telling your story.
Thank you.
Yelena?
Hello, everyone. Welcome. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and to all of you listening here and to all of you listening, this is a podcast. As Sally Lou's passion is to invite love and goodness, I thought that this meditation is an invitation for just that. So as you find a way to be in this moment, allowing yourself to just arrive and to notice how is to land in this moment, in this body, at this time, and just connect with that for a moment. Connect with the earth, with air, noticing air coming in and out of your body, and connect with your heart. And throughout this invitation, just allow yourself to connect with the goodness within yourself. The goodness you have, the love, the compassion, peace, inner joy. And if you wish, you may want to offer yourself a hold, maybe placing one hand on your heart and one hand on your abdomen. just see if you can hold yourself in that soothing goodness. And perhaps allowing yourself to visualize that goodness radiating out of your body. When you breathe in and breathe out, when you breathe in all your goodness into your heart. And let your heart be the portal that multiplies that goodness by a factor of 10. And when you breathe out, give all of that goodness out to the whole world. And if you wish, you may visualize yourself breathing in this brilliant white light representing the abundance of goodness. And just for a moment, let's connect with the goodness within everybody that has shown up on this call, everybody that is listening right now, everyone here is a good person, having this inner goodness. Just allow for another moment to breathe in and breathe out the abundance of goodness, of kindness and peace. When you're ready, I invite you to gently open your eyes if they were closed, or just take in people who are on this call and acknowledge the goodness that is here. Thank you all. Sally Lou, welcome.
Much, Yelena. I'm already starting off with so much emotion. So happy to be here. I'll gently bring us back. Thank you for your beautiful meditation and your blessing. This is the kind of invitation that when I received it, I was honored. And then when it arrived today, I had no idea how much I would need it. And that's the beauty of this peace circle. When it arrives, we have no idea how much we really need it. And today I can't help but think that this peace circle has something to do with the beautiful energy that we have put into the universe that has truly blessed us today in this moment, in this exact very moment where so many of us are learning the new future for our country. Thank you, Liz. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Yelena, for having me here today. We all need peace right now. I'm watching beyond my television that's muted of all the people just raising their hands together. And the beautiful word of my emerging story today is the word together, but I'll get to that as soon as I pull myself together. We all need peace right now. And I'm so thrilled and honored to be on this call with all of my fellow peacemakers. So hello. I believe that our story is our superpower. I had a front row seat to the most powerful stories that were told on the Oprah Winfrey Show. They were told by people who were brave like you and me, who got onto the show and told their story that was hard and painful, stories of about abuse and addiction and debt and just things that were hard to talk about. But things that every one of us suffers from. And I watched the studio audience leave with more compassionate and open hearts. I left with one too. And those stories stayed on my heart and stay on my heart forever, which is why I believe that our story is our superpower. I hope that part of my story will land on your hearts today as well. That's truly when our story is our superpower. It's impossible for our stories to be the same, and that's what's beautiful about them. My story is not like yours, and yours is not like mine, but a piece of my story may unlock a piece of yours. It may touch you in a way. It may remind you of someone in your life or something in your life, or it might heal something that you've been going through, some pain. Maybe it'll remind you of someone in your life. Maybe it'll remind you of you. Story gives us connection and community, which is what we're feeling right now in this moment. I happened to catch a segment on Today, my favorite morning show, with Bishop Michael Curry this week, which I totally took as a sign of peace because I love Bishop Curry. He's the one that spoke at Harry and Meghan's wedding, and he is my bishop. I'm Episcopalian. He spoke about the current mood of our country, and he said, we have to make a decision that we are going to do this together. There's that word again, together. Such a beautiful word. What a beautiful world. I know we feel not united in this moment, but right now in this moment, leading up to this moment, I should say, we haven't felt so united. In this moment, I feel the word together in such a beautiful way. That word means love. That word means community. That word means team, connection. And together is part of my emerging story. So here's what I'm going to share with you today. 5 years ago, I lost my father. He was my heart and soul. He's the person I dedicated my book, Speak To. He was a doctor and he saved lives. As a young girl, I used to go to the hospital and visit with him as he would do his rounds with his patients. And really what was happening is I was witnessing him being this beautiful human, my father, who was saving people's lives. But more importantly, he was interested in people's lives. He saw everyone. He asked, how are you? What do you need help with? How's your family? And so I looked at him like he was this rock star, and I felt like he was bigger than life, and I wanted to be a part of that. He just made sure everyone felt like they mattered. Well, I knew I wasn't brave enough or smart enough to be a doctor, but I knew I wanted to help people make their lives better, which is absolutely what led me to my career with Oprah Winfrey. Now, I was not saving lives on the show, but I was making them better. At the end of my father's life, he battled Alzheimer's. It never took his sweetness, it never took his spirit, it never took his adorable face. But in the end, a stroke took his life, which was really a blessing. And in the days as he was dying, we gathered, all 17 family members of us gathered by his bed, and in a circle, we stayed by him. And we sang songs from the 70s like The Carpenters, Close to You. And we sang Christmas carols like Joy to the World. We told him how much we loved him. And then I placed my cross in his hand and I told him, this isn't over, Dad. I'm expecting you to stay in touch. Well, my dad delivered. He stays in touch a lot. His visitations are big. Sometimes they're small. No matter what the size is, I always know it's him. 2 weeks ago, I got a message that sort of shook me though. And this is my emerging story. First, a little background. When my dad passed away, we celebrated his life by having a beautiful funeral service in Philadelphia. 700 people attended. We had to build a tent outside the church. It was a magnificent celebration. all the soccer players that he had mentored at the college that he attended, that many of his family members attended, sat in the choir stalls because we needed extra seats. But they were in the choir stalls, men of all ages, young and old, who he had mentored through the soccer program there. But when I came back to Chicago, I felt like I really wanted a place of my own to be where I could speak to my dad. So I arranged for a very small service at my favorite park, Maple Street Park, that has a perfect view of Lake Michigan. And if you stand between two maple trees, the view is literally picture perfect. So that's where we had our service. It was just our children, my husband, my mother, our rabbi and our minister, because we do both, and a beautiful singer-songwriter named Todd Kessler, who sang beautiful music for us in Hebrew and in English. And the two maple trees just framed the beautiful space where we were in, and that is where I spread my dad's ashes. Now, our last name is Oaks. My dad is Dr. Oaks, and we're big on trees. We had five oak trees in my front yard growing up because there were five of us. And, you know, they weren't oak trees, but they were maple trees. So I welcomed them. Now, most Sundays I go to the park and I talk to my dad. One Sunday, a few years ago, I was in a very bad place. My marriage was in trouble. We'd been working on our marriage for a few years. My dad knew it. He was super supportive. He and my husband were very close. And something had bubbled up. It was a problem. I went to the park and I said, Dad, I looked up at the trees, the sun comes through, and I said, Dad, please send me a sign that's big enough that I can see and feel, and I know I'll be okay, please. 6 hours later, I received an email from a woman who I had been in touch with for over 23 years. I'll tell you why this was the delivery of my ask. My dad moves fast. His nickname was B, not because his name was Billy, but because he was as busy as a bee. That's what his mom said. He's always so busy, moving fast. And since the minute I was planning his funeral at the church in Philadelphia, outside of Philadelphia, these little cute, tiny little bees, not scary bees, little cute bees, were always on my arm or on my clipboard, because of course I had a clipboard, which is my favorite thing that I own, as I was planning his funeral. So the bees kept appearing, but in this moment, it was Kathy who appeared. She was the woman who sent the email. Now Kathy had been someone I had been in touch with for 23 years. She and her husband had purchased my grandparents' house outside of Philadelphia years and years ago. And after my grandfather passed away. And as a child, I spent a lot of time at my grandparents' house on the weekends. My grandfather took meticulous care of his yard. He was retired and he was always landscaping and I was always hanging out with him. There were two enormous terracotta urns on his property. And the larger urn served as my home base for my childhood games. I made some friends in his neighborhood. And so when we played hide and seek, I would put my head into the big drum of the urn and I'd scream, ready or not, here I come. My voice felt so powerful. I was ready. I was ready to find anyone. I was ready. My voice reminded me that I was ready. It was also home base for kick the can, red light, green light. I loved those terracotta urns, especially that one. But when it was time for my grandmother to sell the house to Kathy and her husband, she sold the house with the urns. And that was that. Fast forward, I go to college. I move to Chicago. I have a career with Oprah. I meet my husband. I get married. I have kids. And we move to the suburbs of Chicago. My mom flies out to help me and my husband with our home. We have two little girls at the time. Our son had not been born yet. And my mom and I are in the kitchen and she says to me, remember the couple that bought Nana and Pop-Pop's house? I'm like, yeah. She said, well, they moved to Wilmette. And I'm like, Wilmette? That's three towns away from where we are. I grabbed the phone book because it was 1996. And I looked up their names. We found the address, and without words, we jumped in the car, put the girls in the car seat. We were off. As I drove up to this home, it's probably like 12 minutes from my house, I saw the urns. I was like, those are my urns, and they're in Chicago down the street from me? How is this possible? I'm the only person that has ever left the East Coast from my family. I am an island out here, except for now with my husband. And now my kids have all gone back east too. That's another story. And my grandfather knew I would need protection. He sent those urns to me. I freaked out, and I spent the next 23 years bugging Kathy, emailing Kathy, calling Kathy, will you give me the urns? Can I buy the urns? And the answer was always no. They love the urns too. So I used to visit them. Luckily, they were on the outside of their property. I really only visited the big one. Oh, I would stick my head in there and talk to my grandfather, 100%. And thank God she did not arrest me. So 23 years later, there I am in Maple Street Park, between those two sturdy maple trees, asking for a sign that was big enough for me to see and feel from my dad to tell me that I would be okay. Whether my marriage survived or not, I would be okay. And Kathy emails me to tell me 6 hours later that they're moving to Miami, and would I like to buy the large urn, the one that meant the most to me. She didn't know that. The one that I used to scream my voice into, where I felt powerful. I was getting my voice back. I was getting my home base back in a time when I needed it so badly. But only one urn, not two. I wasn't ungrateful, but I thought, what does that mean? Why not two? Does that represent my marriage? Does that mean I'm on my own? I didn't know. But the word together kept surfacing again, together. My husband took on the job of getting this enormous terracotta urn back to our house like it was his life's work. And it was. It wasn't easy. It's in our garage. It's not, we don't even have a yard anymore. We live in a townhouse. One day we will have a yard again and we will put it there. But it's right now, it's in our garage. And I stick my head in it and talk. Now, Kathy and I have become very close. Grateful she never arrested me. They've moved to Miami. They took their urn with them. And we keep in touch and we talk to each other as if we have siblings that are in different states. And one day we'll meet again. She cried in my arms and I cried in hers, and I thanked her for giving me back a piece of me. So 3 weeks ago, it was my father's birthday. I went to Maple Street Park to talk to him. And when I got there, one of the two maple trees was gone. What? Nobody asked me if they could take that maple tree down. What was happening? I stood there in shock, like, is this happening? What was left was a stump. What did that mean? Was my father leaving me? Would his visits end? Would we no longer be together in this spiritual world that we had beautifully curated? Today is your father's birthday, Deborah. That's so nice. Happy birthday. So I called upon my spiritual community to help me. And my energy healer told me to bring a piece of crystal to the park, to bless it, and to leave it by the stump. So I did. And then I looked up, and no longer were the leaves there, but I felt the sun so strongly. It came through, and it felt like it was a warm hug from my father. So I felt okay. Yesterday, I was on a walk with my friend Melissa, someone who brings me great joy and peace, someone who is a prophet in a way, someone who's never in town, but happens to be in town right now. And we took a walk, and we walked all the way up and down Sheridan Road, which is the what is against the lake, Lake Michigan, the road that is right by the lake. And we did a few beach walks, and they're all on bluffs. So we're coming up Maple Street Bluff. I hadn't told her the story, And I was out of breath. I'm a COVID survivor. My lungs do not take incline too well. And she said, Sally Lou, do you want to sit down? And I was like, sit down? I never sit down. What are you talking about? I am sitting down right now, though. So we sat down on this little picnic bench, which was right near the tree that's still standing, the maple tree, and about 30 yards from, or 30 feet from the stump. Now the stump is just leaves. The stump is no longer there. It's just a pile of leaves. And I told her the story. And she said to me, your dad's telling you that you're strong enough to face anything on your own. He is still with you, but you have everything you need. And I was like, okay, I feel that way. I feel that way. And I thanked her. And then I said, let's go see if the crystal's there under the pile of leaves. I never thought I'd find it because this leaf pile was rather large. As I got up, I stand up and I see my crystal. There it is, by the table next to the tree. I would have never sat at this table. I never sit. There it was, my crystal, from 30 feet from where it was. But it wasn't like I had left it. It was broken into two pieces. They were like this, right there. These are the pieces. My two crystal pieces there. I stared at it. I was like, wait, they're right here. Almost tripped over them. So now it's two pots, now one pot. Well, urns, sorry. Two urns, now one urn. Two trees, now one tree. One crystal, now two crystals. And then just like that, my friend Gia walks by, who is my soul sister. We were born on the same day. We worked together at Harpo. We are soul sisters. We are so connected spiritually. I couldn't have arranged for that. Now I had two friends by me as I'm looking at these two pieces of crystal. And so what I realized is my story is, whether it's two or one, I know that I am together on my own, no matter what. I am at peace. I am strong. I have my voice. I won't break. And I know that my Father is always with me. And peace brings more peace. I can't help but think of the Philadelphia story that we are all experiencing today, a story of love, a story of peace, a story of a town that helped elect our new president. I would love to claim that my Father's beloved city of Philadelphia and his love for it had something to do with it, where he saved so many people's lives and worked tirelessly at the homeless clinic that he was part of, that he started a men's homeless soccer team to give men a community and exercise and purpose. He knew every corner of that street, he knew every corner of the streets of Philadelphia. He knew everyone, every vendor, every professional, every person. They'd all say, hey, Dr. Oaks, because he always ran from building to building because he was busy as a bee. He was brotherly love. And I'll just say this, that Philadelphia makes me feel like my dad is never going away and I will always be okay. That's my story.
Thank you, Sally. Sally Lou.
You're welcome.
So, Yelena, Liz, do we have an inquiry to send to people into the breakout rooms with?
Yeah, Terry, it's really powerful story, Sally Lou. It just has so many, such a beauty in it. That as I was listening to it, I was looking at around the room and I could just see excitement in the faces and just, just the wonder and the beauty of that story, how it's striking everybody here. So, So one of the inquiries that, you know, I think Liz and I kind of landing on is for all of us to really reflect on the time when we asked for or received, you know, signs that help us connect with ourselves. And at the time where we doubt, when we don't have that peace or hope that help us connect with that sense of, you know, hope and, yeah, and connection with others, right? So that's the inquiry. I don't know if Terry is putting that down. Thank you, Terry. So, yep. Yeah, is there a time where you can recall something like this in your life?
Wonderful. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to pause the recording and then we're going to go into breakout rooms and then come back in about. Well, welcome back. It's nice to see everyone. So who wants to share? Who wants to share something that came out of your time together? What's alive for you? If you'd like to share, you can unmute yourself and speak.
For our small circle, we were connected to nature. You can see I'm out in Mother Nature again. And Sally Lou, when you were talking, my nickname is Anna Bee. And it's Barker, but everybody, I'm busy as a bee. I empathized with your father. And as you were sharing your story, I was cleaning out what's called a Mason bee house. And I thought, oh, Terry Mason does so many lovely things. And Mason bees pollinate orchards. And we're eating the fruits of all of our work and our stories. And I shared how we need to continue to nurture nature, both human nature and Mother Nature. So that's the share from your Nana Bee in my group.
Thank you, Anna.
You're welcome.
Who else would like to share?
Terry, I don't want to take more time because I've had time, but I'll just quickly say that I had the great honor of being in a room with Phyllis Blackstone from Brunswick, Maine. And she was able to tell me how she is one of seven siblings. Her parents have gone, one sibling is left, and she moved back to her hometown of Brunswick so she could walk in the place where her family walked, so she feels connected to them. And it landed so strongly on my heart as I begin to think about where my husband and I will go next. Mm-hmm. And I've thought about it so many times. And I was really grateful for Phyllis's wisdom and how she was so brave in her 60s and got rid of everything that didn't mean anything to her, kept her most prized possessions in 8 plastic tote bags, stored them in her brother's house or garage, and went on a year-long trip to see the country. And I think if we could all live bravely like that and really strip down to what matters most, it's a great lesson. So I'm very grateful that I got to, and Maine is one of my favorite states, the way life should be. Traveled there 15 years in a row for a vacation. And I felt very honored to be in Phyllis's presence. So I just wanted to share with that.
Deborah? Thank you. Thank you, Phyllis.
Well, Deborah, you have to unmute.
There were originally 3 of us, but one had to leave because his mother called. And we, of course, understood because that's a connection in itself. So then I asked the person who was with me, what do you do for a living? And she said, I do nothing. It's not important. And I said, oh, certainly it is. So then she told me she's a cleaning person. And I said, well, oh my gosh, I'm an early childhood educator. which some people think is nothing, but without a clean, beautiful environment filled with wonder and joy and beauty due to a clean space and organized environment, my work would be very difficult. So we sort of honored each other in what we do, and it was a nice connection.
That's lovely. Thank you. Who else would like to share?
I'll say that with all of this mention of nature and Maine, I grew up in a rural area outside Portland, Maine, and I would go down to the river by myself and play and freak out my mother because she didn't know where I was. So my takeaway today is I am always connected, always, far more than I allow myself to experience. And that allowing myself to experience that connection is healing for me. Mm-hmm. And that's why I come to these calls.
It's always good to see you here, David. And for one more share, if someone would like to
share. I would like to.
Lois?
Hi. Yes, yeah. Hi. What we talked about, we talked about peace and different things about peace and about how, you know, there are those that are like way out in the world and doing, you know, big things. And then there are those that are doing things that are not so big, and those that are just doing, or not just, but those that are doing things, you know, for themselves, for peace for themselves, and for those in their more immediate circles, and how we need it all. And that, and related to that, I keep thinking of the quote, I believe it was from Thich Nhat Hanh, about how, you know, you can create, you know, to create peace in the world, you need to have peace like in your country, in your city, in your town, in your family. But the bottom line is you got to have peace right here in your heart. And that was a part of our conversation today.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much. We're going to bring it to a close. Sally Lou, do you have any final comments you'd like to share?
I just believe that when people gather more than one, there's a reason. And I'm so grateful that I had this invitation. One of my favorite things to say is accept invitations from your mother or anyone who loves or likes you, because you never know where that will lead you. It is my story of how I discovered my career in television when I accepted my mother's invitation to go to the Mike Douglas show. Some of you might remember that. Yeah. I write about it in my book, Speak. I hope you'll look for that book if you want more stories from me. I'm just grateful for the invitation, and I'm grateful that I said yes. My heart is very full. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Terry.
I'm going to put just a few links in the chat. First is the Peace Alliance website. With the Peace Alliance mission is to empower civic action for a culture of peace. There's also a link to the podcasts, which you can access from the website or at Podbean or at Apple. We have a new initiative to condemn election violence, and we encourage you to sign on to that initiative, and automatically we'll send emails to your elected officials to let them know that you want them to sign on as well. I think we have over 200 elected officials who have signed, so do sign that. We also have our Blueprint for Peace, which you can sign on in the same way to let your elected officials know that you support policy priorities that are peaceful and to reduce violence. We are a nonprofit, the Peace Alliance, with obviously acceptable donations of any size. Our link to donate is there. and also the calendar of events. You can look for more Hope Story Circles. And also this coming Tuesday is our national monthly call. And our guest is going to be Dot Maver. And if some of you might remember Dot, if you've been involved with the Peace Alliance for a long time. And she was also a speaker on a Hope Story Circle a couple months back. But she's going to join us on Tuesday. So feel free to check the calendar of events and register for that call this Tuesday. So thank you all for being here and listening to all of those public service announcements. And now, Liz, I'll hand it off to you to close us out.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Yelena. Thank you, Sally Lou, for your story. And what I was reflecting on after listening to Sally's story was that idea of signs. You know, and one thing that Sally Lou and I have in common was a very close relationship with our dads. My dad was a college professor and a civil rights activist in the 60s. And my mom, though, was an emergency room nurse. I may have mentioned that before. And they were so different, and their energies were different. But my father and I used to grapple and go into things. And my mother was just very much, you know, things are or they're not. And last fall, I was getting a lot of signs from my dad. My mom died 23 years ago. But I felt very strongly that I needed a sign from my mom about something. And I hadn't heard from my mom or gotten any kind of sign in a long time. And the week before Christmas, I was doing a lot of walking, preparing to walk a pilgrimage. And I was walking miles and miles a day. And I was always seeing signs from my dad, but I hadn't seen anything from my mom. And I'd gone on a 10-mile walk, and I got home, and a dear friend of mine called, and she said, Liz, did you get any signs? Did you see any signs? And I said, no, I really didn't, because you can't make a case for it. And at that moment, it was 9 o'clock at night, and I heard a knock on my door. And it was the boy who lives behind us. He's 18. He's the same age as my sons. And he said, Liz, my mom told me to bring this over to you, this book over to you. It reminded her of a conversation you had. And the book was just literally called Signs.
Wow.
And it cracked me up because I said, I know that was from my mom. My mom was so literal. And she said, you want a sign? Here's a sign. And it was just a literal sign. And it made me feel connected. And what I was reminded of, Sally Lou, when you were talking, was signs have been one way that I've discovered kind of play in the universe, right? A sense of play. It's kind of like you put it out there and then the universe answers you in a way that's either meaningful or playful. And I've started to kind of look at it that way, like my way of playing with the universe. And so I was really grateful to hear Sally Lou tell that story about signs and her dad. And so I guess if I'm going to leave you with something as we go on in the week is to just kind of be on the lookout for signs, to put either an intention or an idea, and to just see how the universe invites you to play with messages that can be inviting to you or recognized by you. As always, I'm so thankful for your presence in my life. I'm thankful for people for whom this is the first time, and I'm always thankful to see the faces that come again and again. I wish you all a beautiful week, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.
You need to unmute yourself and say goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Yes, bye-bye. Thank you, everyone.
Goodbye. Namaste.
Thank you.
Namaste, David. It's always good to see you.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.